the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it's not angels he helps, but Abram's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. God has spoken to us through his holy word.
Well, the moment you unwrap a gift, you rank it. I do it. You do it. We all do it. Let's just not pretend that we don't. Some gifts are better than others, and some gifts are much better. The best gifts, the brilliant ones, are those we didn't really know we wanted, but discover that we really do. And we say, don't we, thank you so much. Actually, I really wanted that, which betrayed the fact we were expecting not to want it at all. So there are some brilliant gifts. There are other gifts that are okay ones, perhaps ones that we had asked for, where we're glad to receive them. The DVD, the new coat, the Amazon gift card, these are okay gifts. And then some gifts are bad gifts. They're the ones that we don't want. You know, the kind of stuff your parents used to give you to sort of fill out your stocking. You remember the sort of thing? Tangerines and walnuts, in my case, straight back in the bowl for me. And, of course, the kind of gifts that make a point. So the extra long-lasting deodorant, Grecian 2000, you can still get that. Or the Lose Your Belly Fat cookbook. All bad gifts. And gifts that we don't want. They are the thanks but no thanks gift. Where does Jesus Christ come on that scale for you? Brilliant? Okay? Or thanks but no thanks? Christmas is about God's gift of Jesus. Where would you rank him? Now, of course, you won't be surprised to hear that the Bible ranks Jesus as a brilliant gift. The writer of these verses, which are printed on our sheets here, has been explaining why Christmas, why God in Christ became man. See, Jesus didn't become an angel. No, he became much less than that. Jesus became one of us. He became a man. Why? Well, the first reason we're given here as to why God became man was to disarm and to destroy the devil so that we wouldn't fear death. The next reason why God became man, the reason given for us in verse 17, the reason we're going to focus upon this evening is to help Abraham's descendants. That is, to help all those who have faith in God, like Abraham. And here's how Jesus helps believers. The Son of God became what we are, so that we might become what he is. Sons of God, daughters of God, children of God. That heaven might one day be our home. And that's why the Bible says that the gift of Jesus Christ is just brilliant. Now, how does this all work? Have a look down with me again at verse 17 in the bold there. For this reason, it said, he, Jesus, had to be made like them, that is, those who believe. Fully human in every way, flesh like us, feelings like us, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Now, there's a lot in here, so let's just break it down. Jesus helps us to heaven by becoming man in order to be our high priest. Now, you didn't know that you needed a high priest for Christmas, did you? But you do, you really do. You need a high priest. If you call someone the high priest of something, what you mean is that they're an expert. What you mean is that they're the go-to person for their speciality. So Messi is the high priest of football. Attenborough is the high priest of nature documentaries. And in my house, my wife is the high priest of cooking. And that would be the case even if I did any. You see, the high priest is the expert. They are the go-to person. And in things relating to God, that person is Jesus Christ. He is the high priest of things relating to God. Why? Because he alone can atone for our sins. He became at one with us to atone for our sins. Stick with me a moment. Sin is not making a mistake or making a poor choice. If I'm writing you a Christmas card and spell your name wrong, then that's a mistake. If I don't buy my wife a Christmas present, well, that's a poor choice and you might say a risky one. But sin is more than a mistake. It is more than a poor choice. Sin is rebellion against heaven, rebellion against God's divine majesty. It is treating our Creator with contempt. It is an attempt to shove him off his throne and for us to sit there instead. As one person put it, sin is cosmic treason. My son went to see Father Christmas, who just happened to be at his school. And before he went in, he had to fill out a form. There was a box to tick. There were three options. And he had to describe how he had behaved this year. Number one, perfect, like an angel. Number two, a little bit good. Number three, naughty. Well, he knew the truth and he ticked option two anyway, the option that you and I would go for. See, we like to think of ourselves as a little bit good. We don't like to think of ourselves as bad at all. But the Bible says that we are not good and that by nature we shake our fists at God and attempt cosmic treason. Now, I wish I could, but I doubt I will be able to persuade you that that is true of you this evening, that you are guilty of cosmic treason. I know that many here will think that that is just over the top, but think for a moment, why Christmas? Why did God become man? Why did Jesus give up heaven, not to become an angel, but to become much lower? To become one of us. And not only to become one of us, but to die as one of us. Bethlehem isn't the whole story. The birth that took place was not an end in itself, but it was a means to an end. And the end to which Bethlehem was a means was Jerusalem, the place where Jesus died. The cradle was a staging post on the way to the cross. And the cross and not the cradle was where Jesus was heading. Why was that? Well, in order that he could be a high priest who makes atonement. Now, the imagery here comes from way back in the Old Testament. God set up this greater multimedia presentation for us to understand, and the temple was really a picture of heaven. And once a year, a representative, a high priest, entered heaven, and as he did so, he wore a breastplate. And in that breastplate were 12 precious stones on which were engraved the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. So once a year, it was as if a representative entered into heaven itself, into God's presence, bearing the names of his people close to his heart. But as he entered, there was one thing that he never, ever forgot to take with him. Blood. Blood to atone for sins. If you have an argument this Christmas, I hope you don't, but if you do have an argument with someone, what is it that you want? If you've got any sense, then what you want is peace. You want reconciliation with the person. But what usually happens is that somebody jumps in to try and mediate things, and it makes things worse, doesn't it? Because whatever that person says, one of the parties will say, well, you would say that, wouldn't you? You would say that because you're always on their side. You always defend them. And, of course, it escalates. And what we need between us and God, because we have made an enemy of heaven, is we need somebody who is acceptable to both sides, somebody with a foot in both camps. And that person is the God-man, Jesus Christ. So do you see why Bethlehem? Man has made an enemy of God, and we dare not fall into the hands of the living God without a mediator, without a high priest. We need somebody who is acceptable to God and who is on our side and in our corner. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ is acceptable to God because he was faithful, even to death on the cross. And we know that Jesus Christ is for us because he didn't merely come among us, he became one of us. As man, he experienced the sufferings and the trials and the temptations that you and I face. And so he feels mercy towards us. His heart goes out to us. He is full of compassion for us. He carries us in his heart. He is the one person who is truly on our side, who is truly in our corner. He is a merciful and faithful high priest. And he became at one with us in order to at one to atone for us. Suppose for a moment that that argument is trivial. You steal and you scoff a lion bar from someone's selection pack. Now, if there's going to be any peace and reconciliation, what needs to happen? Well, you need to make atonement for your sin of lion bar theft. And you need to replace the lion bar. Well, no problem in my household. My sister and I always got exactly the same selection pack, so I could give her my lion bar, hand it over eventually. See, I made atonement through the handing over of the lion bar. But what if your argument isn't trivial? What if you've done something worse than taking a lion bar? What if you've attempted to take God's throne for yourself? What if you've committed cosmic treason? Then what? What can you possibly give? If you've tried to wipe God off the map, what can you possibly give to atone for that sin? See, the only thing that could possibly be handed over is your life. See, our sin against the divine majesty, Well, it means that justice screams for blood. Friends, here is why Jesus Christ is so brilliant. Because Jesus Christ is not only high priest, but he is also atoning sacrifice. Don't picture God out there screaming for your blood. Picture God come down as man to offer you his blood. Picture God dying on a cross for you, rising and ascending for you, and passing through the heavens into the very throne room of God as your representative and on your behalf. Picture him entering the highest heaven for you. Picture him entering with his own blood in his hands and with your name on his heart. That's what Christmas is about. And this, of course, is present reality. Jesus Christ, the God-man, stands in heaven having made atonement for sins. And he intercedes for us. And one day he will return as he promised, and he will take us home to be with him. Christ became what we are, so that we might become what he is, a child of God. And that's just brilliant. Now, it's the most stressful part of Christmas, not choosing the tree, not getting the kids to sleep on Christmas Eve. It's when somebody asks you, what do you want for Christmas? And we usually say, don't we, well, nothing, I don't really need anything. And that is honestly how many people feel about Jesus Christ. And that is why for them he is an okay gift, not bad, but not brilliant. But when God persuades you, as he has persuaded many people in this room, that we have made an enemy of heaven, we realize that we desperately need a representative, a high priest, one in our corner, one who is on our side, who has us close to their heart, and who has made atonement for us. We need a merciful and faithful high priest. Do you have one? One writer said this: if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, and so God sent us a savior. Or in the words of this passage, our greatest need was atonement, and so God sent us a high priest. How do you rank Jesus Christ as God's gift to you? Perhaps you're saying this evening, thanks, but no thanks. Well, if that's you, we're really glad that you've joined us this evening, and I encourage you to keep coming and to keep exploring Christianity. As we hit January, we're going to be studying a new book in the Bible called Ecclesiastes. It's a really intriguing book, and it says some things that will shock you that actually appear in the Bible. So do keep coming. Maybe you rank Jesus Christ as an okay gift. If that's the case, then let me leave you with a question. If you are a little bit good, then why did Jesus Christ have to come? And why did Jesus Christ have to die? But maybe there's some people here this evening who rank Jesus Christ as a brilliant gift. You realize that actually he is the must-have gift this Christmas. In which case, I encourage you not only to believe in Jesus Christ, but to receive him right now, this evening. To receive him as your high priest and as your atoning sacrifice. I'll pray, and if you want to do that, then simply echo this prayer in your heart and then join with me in the final Amen. So let's just pause just to consider whether it's right for us to say this prayer this evening, and then I'll lead us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Christmas, for family and friends, for food and presents, so much to enjoy, and especially for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you that he became at one with us to atone for us. Thank you that he did that for me. I admit that I've made heaven my enemy and desperately need Jesus on my side. Please show me mercy and forgive me. I receive Jesus as my high priest, trusting his death alone has made atonement for my sins. Help me follow him from this moment onward. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if that is the first time that you've prayed a prayer like that, then I do encourage you to come and tell me afterwards. I'd love to celebrate what's happened with you, so do come and tell me. But otherwise, thank you for listening, and I wish you all a brilliant Christmas.